The Tights and Fights podcast, for over 6 years, a revolutionary force in sports and entertainment.
Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the Talk and Roll Express, Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by my fellow member of the Nation of Conversation, Road Warrior Danimal, Danielle Radford.
Oh man, what's that noise that Road Warrior used to make?
Rush.
It sounds like I'm puking.
She's gonna puke!
Oh, no, it's just the sound of me falling over and bumping. But we'll just say that that's road warrior animal noises.
Sure.
Just me bumping.
Just Danielle going bump in the night. But Danielle and I are not the only ones here. Friends, we are about to welcome back a special guest to the show. She is the host of the podcast The JV Club with Janet Varney and is known for her roles across television and animation and as a fellow Workjuice player along with me. It's Fists of Granite, Janet Varney. Welcome back. To Tights and Fights.
Why has no one introduced me that way before? Of course I'm Fists of Granite. Of course I am.
Yeah.
Everyone knows that.
You're always punching people and things everywhere you go.
You know I love punching things. I'm known as a puncher.
See, I thought that your fists were full of granite and you had pica.
Let me tell you a quick story. My mom had friends when I was little who's were like geologists, and they named all of their children G names that were also gems or minerals. So they had like granite, galena, garnet. And then my mom said they can't ever have another kid or they'll have to name him gravel. And I was like, yeah, that is what they would have to name him. Good call, Mom.
They are the crystal gems. Very nice.
Yeah. Granite fists. Fists of granite. Fist of Granite, Janet. That's me. I'm so happy to be back. Thanks for having me.
We had another episode with you, Janet, that all Max Fun members can go listen to in our bonus feeds right now before we get going. So we'll wait. It's really great, and we're sure everyone will love it. And welcome back. Remind us a little bit of how limited your wrestling experience has been in childhood.
Childhood, next to nothing. Definitely understood wrestling through the lens of which wrestlers left wrestling to become movie stars. That's sort of still mainly true, but I really enjoyed our deep dive into Cesaro and his entrance music. Julian introduced me to Colt Cabana, and I had one of my most favorite Boys of Summer episodes with him. What an absolute gem. And he came up and said hi to me at a con that we were both at. I feel like I really played up the fact to like anybody who was waiting to meet me. I like really played up that he had come over and that I was like, oh, my friend Colt Cabana, my personal friend. I felt very cool. And then I also got to meet Mick Foley recently. And he had done a voice on Avatar: The Last Airbender, the series. And so I like tried to parlay that into him thinking I was super cool. And I don't think I succeeded. I feel like he was like, and here's another person who wants to meet me. Yes, goodbye. I will be meeting other people now.
Who am I making this out to?
Exactly. I tried. I really tried.
Well, let's talk a little bit about wrestling news. WWE's biggest figure, Vince McMahon, who is slowly turning into a Broderick Crawford villain, has been ousted and has eventually returned. Then he had back surgery. WrestleMania happened in Inglewood. And now WWE's merger with UFC under the name TKO has been finalized. Ari Emanuel will be the CEO of all of that. How much of that did you notice? Were you there for any? Have you seen Vince McMahon's mustache? Like, that's surely that's made the rounds to your orbit somehow, right, Janet?
Have I seen that mustache? I'm still stuck at just knowing that Ari Emanuel is in charge of everything. But have I seen the mustache? I don't know if I have. I got to take a look. I'm going to look it up right now while I keep talking.
Yeah, take a look. Well, take a look. I want to see your live reaction to it.
I was going
to
say, am I in trouble if I'm on a smaller computer than usual? Will the mustache like spill over into real life if I look it up?
You'll see it immediately.
Okay. Okay. Well, listen, when you have a thing of glory to be proud of forever, I guess you got to go for it.
By the way, when they rang the bell at the New York Stock Exchange, he was standing next to his son, who is, I think, in his early 50s and has graying hair. So he's standing next to him like a living bottle of Just for Men next to his son, who's just naturally graying. And it is the weirdest thing.
No.
Like, I'm getting away with it. Look at me. I'm getting away with it. It's so
I'm
perfect.
Getting away with it. You just know he thinks he looks like Errol Flynn. Like, you just know he does.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that would be what you were modeling yourself after, I guess.
This merger is weird. I mean, it makes sense. It's going to be a very valuable company. It's a good business move. The CFO of WWE has left. I don't think it was because he was in protest of the merger. I think he got like a $5 million bonus plus whatever he had in invested shares that would have triggered when the acquisition happened. Maybe that is the $5 million bonus. Either way, he's walking away with plenty of money to live on a beach or do whatever he wants next. But the question becomes for wrestling fans, how this is going to affect the creative moving forward. Is there going to be somebody else with their hands all over it? Vince McMahon, who had ostensibly left the company, has been calling in changes. Like, he doesn't show up at the shows, but he gives them changes over the phone or over the computer. So the shows are constantly shifting. And you know what it's like to have last minute changes made right before a show. And that's constantly happening in the world of professional wrestling. So it may be nothing. It may be nothing that's going to happen that is any different. But I don't know. I feel uneasy. How do you feel, Danielle?
So, I mean, obviously, we're not going to know what's going to happen. Vince was out because he did all of the things you're not supposed to do as a person who runs a company. And people were like, this is bad. And even though we knew about it for years, we're going to pretend we care now and make it so that you are no longer around. And then it became like, well, I have to come back because the only way Endeavor will negotiate to do this thing. That's my Vince. I just pursed my lips. The only way Endeavor will come back to do this thing is if I help negotiate, blah, 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 blah. And part of it was that he was negotiating for creative control. In my heart of hearts, I think that he knows he can trust the people who have WWE to still listen to him. But Vince has always been the dude who's like, I want whatever's above. And he always, like, even as he is this mythic figure who brought wrestling into the era that it is now, he never liked it. He's not a wrestling fan. Like, that was never his thing. Like, his thing was always he wanted to make a show. Like, he's Hugh Jackman in The Greatest Showman. Like, that's who he is. And just knowing Vince and, like, his level of ego and vibrato, it's got to feel really good that he can boss around these dudes who actually hit people in the face for a living and not just, like... Because, like, for me, one of the big stories that came out that was during, like, a press conference that Dana White kind of, like, laughed about was someone was like, hey, like, you know, one of the guys at Endeavor said that this is great and then this is an opportunity to make WWE fans into UFC fans and vice versa. And Dana White was like... No, it's not, because they're different things, which Dana White was clearly biting his tongue to not be like, their shit is fake, because that's like what UFC fans, like, they do not like the idea that someone thinks UFC is fake or equates it with wrestling. What works is that it's like these two sides of the opposite coin. And so whereas I do think that there's going to be some bleed when you have essentially like the production people for WWE or like the Imagineers, like I think that there'll be some bleed over where they at least use some of their expertise to make the UFC shows bigger. I think what's more likely to happen is that you're going to get Vince fucking up UFC before you get him fucking up WWE.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a new territory for him to fuck up.
Mm.
Where no McMahon has gone before.
Here's the really interesting thing about, like, wrestling's great. Love wrestling. Love all the drama. I think, the more I think about it, I feel like I think about it more and more with each passing day. Maybe because my mind is slipping. But Vince McMahon... his father, Vince McMahon Sr., was the owner of WWF/WWWF before Vince bought it from him. Mm-hmm. He was not raised by Vince McMahon Sr. Vince McMahon Sr., Vince was born out of wedlock, I believe, or like basically he was abandoned by his father. He was raised in North Carolina. He really wanted a relationship with his dad, which I think started when he was 16. And I believe that everything he has ever done has been to try to earn his father's love. And I believe his father passed away before he like took wrestling national, which was as weird a figure as he is. Modern wrestling, being able to have not one but two arguably three national wrestling shows. That wouldn't happen without him. He was the one who originated all that. He figured it out and promoted it and made it mainstream acceptable. It changed with the times, sometimes not fast enough, but was able to adapt and evolve. And I feel like every single bit of it is for his dad to say, son, I'm proud of you. And he'll never hear that.
Yeah. Well, Shane will never hear it either. So at least he gets to like live generational trauma on both ends, because his own son's never going to hear it either.
That's true.
That's why he's always throwing himself off of stuff.
It troubles me that neither of you believes in seances like I do. I think he will hear his dad's.
You don't think he has the right candles?
Any medium now. He's going to get that connection straight through to Pop, and he's going to hear what he needs to hear. Through the sounds of cheesecloth coming out of a medium's mouth.
Did you ever do, either of you ever do a Ouija board growing up and
sure
think
did.
It was real?
I sure did. Yeah.
Yeah. I was convinced my freshman year of college that I had an experience that was real. And I called, and I was like in tears afterwards. And I called my parents. I was like, who is this person? Aww. And it was like the name of somebody who was related to me that I've never heard of before. Like there was no way anyone could have known. But also, I don't know that is, I don't believe it.
Wait a minute. For
2 days, I was like, I am a believer. I do believe in all of
so
this.
So you're saying you don't believe in it? Because I'm going to take away your California driver's license.
Yeah, it's a real ID. You can't take it now. You can't take it. It's tattooed on me.
Number one reason they get taken away.
Yeah. Right at customs.
Wait, do you believe in Ouija boards? That's more important than this road test.
I'll have that. Zing.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how wooey are you?
Yeah.
Do you have any crystals on your person? And if not, would you like some?
I'm not trying hard enough. I know that.
Ma'am, how many bundles of sage are in your trunk right now? Well, Janet, the biggest thing we wanted to have you here to discuss today, outside of Ouija boards and seances and mm-hmm. a missing man's weird mustache and uh-huh. father issues, is to talk about a wrestler known as Daniel Bryan in WWE, mm-hmm. but his actual mm-hmm. name, get ready, is Bryan Danielson, which is what he wrestles under now in AEW and everywhere else in the world. You've watched some footage on Daniel Bryan?
I did, and I, as you were about to ask me if I did, I was busy puzzling through what he'll change his name to next. I was trying to think of a new combination of like Den Bry Engelson. We'll see. He could swap it again. You don't know.
For sure. Put an eye patch on. He's
someone
gotta
think new. Outside the box. Don't just flip him. You know what I mean? You can mix and match. You can do a real mix and match.
You have so many choices.
Blue sky thinking.
Yeah, absolutely. No, this is a really great story. Obviously, all of it's real. He, you know, started out as seemingly an underdog. Maybe on the smaller side. Really had to like go up against the machine. Had to go up against that same system that you've just been talking about, Hal. Really had to fight his way up.
Because you see, we are not going to take it anymore. We are one. We stand together. We are united.
And then, to my understanding, was forced into retirement, not because people just didn't want him there anymore, which is what I thought when I first saw that he had been forced into retirement. I was like, whoa, they really forced him into retirement. But that was not the case. The case was he was getting, as I think he put it, one too many concussions. But then, just when everyone had counted him out, there he comes back. He's cleared. So there's a lot going on in the story. And I don't know if it was the concussions or what, but this guy came back a changed person, and not in the best way. Very, very troubling. I'm very troubled.
Are you referring mm-hmm. to the planet's champion, Daniel Bryan?
I mean, I don't want him to come after me, but I'm just saying there was a person with humbler roots than what I saw.
You see, the old Daniel Bryan, the Daniel Bryan that these people loved, that Daniel Bryan is dead. The Yes Movement is dead.
I just,
That Trader Joe's belt is still like one of my favorite things.
Yeah.
I love the Trader Joe's belt. I love that he was like, this is made with like bamboo. Like, yeah. Okay,
nerd. I think it was like a hemp belt.
Hemp. Yeah, it was hemp and bamboo.
I mean, perfect. I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Some people put a spinner on it, and some people want to make sure that it's biodegradable.
Yeah. he's such an interesting dude. He's a very sympathetic character, and I think because he's small, as you rightfully point out, he was also trained by maybe the greatest small wrestler of all time, which is Shawn Michaels. Mm. But there's something to him, because he does content. He's married to Brie Bella of the Bella Twins, of Bella Twins fame, of Wine and Dancing with Stars and reality show and Hall
they're
of
like
Fame.
They're like the
WWE.
Wrestling Kardashians.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
yeah,
Kardashians of wrestling. And he's done videos with them. We have aired clips of it here, where he basically is like, these two twins are dumb as a box of rocks, and I'm gonna play, are you smarter than a 5-year-old with them, and they are gonna fail, and I'm gonna sound like the biggest jerk.
Scientific term for human beings.
Mm-hmm. The scientific name.
That was easy to me.
For the species of human beings.
Human beings?
The scientific classification of human beings.
I can't believe you don't have that. It's so easy.
On the one hand, you feel bad for him. He's great at eliciting sympathy from an audience and being that underdog. But also, I wonder if he isn't... He also bullied a bigger wrestler on a... There's this show called Dinner for Three.
Was it Dinner for Three? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was Ryback. He's fine.
He's just mocks this bigger, like, just is making fun of him for 30 minutes straight.
Uh-huh.
Like, just, like, the bully. He's the bully. Have you ever had, like, a smaller kid bully you? I have.
Well, and that's the scariest kind, because then they feel like they're justified. It's the thing we all have to be careful of, which is just because someone picked on you doesn't mean that you now get to pick on people. That's not how it works.
Yes.
That's not how it works.
And you're so used to being like on the defensive that like at a certain point it becomes that you are now on the offensive. And it's also like, you know, look, D-Rise from Pacific Northwest, he is also a Washington baby, as am I. And our passive aggression is our greatest superpower. Mm. He does an amazing suplex. Like, don't get me wrong, love a running knee, give me them kicks. But what he really does the best is Pacific Northwest passive aggression.
It's all in the beard. With every inch of that beard grew out, the danger was increasing.
The longer the beard, the closer to God.
That's right.
Danielle, do you have favorite like Daniel Bryan moments? Anything you were there for?
You know how? I don't know if I've ever talked about this on the podcast before.
Uh-oh.
I don't think I have. But there was a moment where Daniel Bryan was first starting the Yes Movement, and it began in Seattle, Washington during an episode of Raw Key Arena. And wouldn't you know, it was the one where they were doing the slammies and I happened to be there, where the entire arena would not allow anyone to talk or do any of their promos. We just chanted for Daniel Bryan the entire night. And that is what they took from a real event and turned that into the Yes Movement. Thank you so much for asking, Hal. I never get to talk about it.
So amazing. Wow. What an amazing thing to share.
For the first time.
Do you have a favorite match of his, of all time, if you were pressed?
Oh, you can't beat WrestleMania 30. You really can't. Just for like the going two matches in one night, killing both of them, the perfect ending to a fantastically told, incredibly emotionally satisfying in like a way that a lot of WWE stuff like doesn't, or just wrestling in general for many reasons. Part of it is because people get too injured before a storyline can play out. There's a lot of different moving parts, blah, blah, blah. This was one where like just the fucking, you know, hand me my California Ouija board, the stars aligned and everything worked out for like this. Everything worked out for this run for it to be perfect. So like that WrestleMania 30 is like the things I think of when I think of Daniel Bryan. I think of, or Bryan Danielson, WrestleMania 30. I think of how worried I get whenever he goes into the middle of a ring with a microphone and a plaid shirt because I'm afraid it's bad news, because that's what he's taught me. And I remember him trying to figure out how to get gray water to work on his weird Washington home garden. One thing I will say is anytime CM Punk decides to CM Punk all over stuff, who always winds up benefiting or getting put into a better position is Daniel Bryan. And right now, if the talks are true, we're like now he has taken over that CM Punk role in Collision, where he, I almost said collusion. That's a different word. That's a legal word.
Conspiracy theories. I like it.
Yeah. But if he is taking over for Collusion, then he's in a fantastic position to do so. And it sounds like he might be thinking about actually winding his career down in a way that is satisfactory for him and also doesn't make me worry about where wrestlers who were forced to retire because their necks and brains don't work anymore, where y'all getting all the extra neck and brain parts?
Yeah.
Where you getting them? Because you all have them now.
It doesn't send the best message to young people.
It's not.
No.
That you have to take care of yourself because you keep getting hurt and then you come back with vengeance. Because somehow everything's unscrambled now.
I know it's because they're doing like the cryogenic, like freezy, like stuff that you would only see in like an episode of MTV's True Life. Like, you know, True Life, they injected placenta into my neck and now I have a neck again, or like whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, like that guy who got the big calves on True Life. Like that would be the kind of, I'd never heard of that, and then I did.
That's where the gray water's going. That gray water's getting injected right into his neck. My takeaway in watching probably way more than I actually needed to for this conversation was just, yes, absolutely, the investment in the moment, the, you know, not being afraid. And I understand that we are talking about wrestling, so, you know, everybody does this to some degree. But just a lot of still waters run deep. Like, I'm going to let this moment of me not saying anything just play out for so incredibly long. And the faith you have that the people are going to be there for you on the other side of some of those dramatic pauses is very, very impressive. I also just felt like, I feel like his use of like a quivering hand, like he's a prophet, like reaching out, maybe, you know, he's so tired and but maybe he can get through this round and maybe God's hand will just come down and touch his quivering hand. Like, it's just very, there's just some big feelings and some big stuff happening there that's coming through in those pauses and those quivers and shudders and still waters run deep.
Oh, yeah. He sells like a mofo. He's one of those people that, like, when he's selling it, he's into it. I'm like, oh, he dead. Oh, he died.
I have two matches to recommend. I'm sure everybody's seen them already. Right now, Janet, there's a storyline that's been going on for 3+ years. I consistently refer to it as the greatest wrestling story ever told. It is fantastic. Mm. Every time they find a new twist, it gets better. It's like woven in with all these different people, and now it's reverberating on other shows because one of the members of this group leaves and goes to another show, but everybody there is someone who his group ran over to get there, so now nobody trusts him. Uh-huh. And everybody's like, no, I'm never going to trust you for what you did to me. I remember all of that. That is all led by a guy named Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns, who is a cousin of The Rock, who's like a good-looking, statuesque Samoan dude.
Oh, I know that. Yeah, I've seen some of this.
You
I
know
what
this
you're talking
dude.
About. Yeah.
He, for years, they were like, he's going to be a future star. 2012, they're like, he's going to be a future star. So the second that he was out of a group and on his own, there was like an unrelenting push on the audience of Roman Reigns, of he's a good guy. Look how funny he is. Look how witty he is. Look how powerful he is. And the crowd couldn't stand him. And I think what that did was obscure how good he was in the ring.
Yep.
But in 2015, and he wrestled Daniel Bryan at Fastlane, which is the pay-per-view right before WrestleMania. And it was sort of like we're going to put him in the ring with Daniel Bryan, who is legitimately one of the best professional wrestlers on the earth. He's great at performing. He knows all these different styles to work. And they had a fantastic match. But I think that was the start of, for me, of going like, oh, this guy can go. He's actually really good. And now he consistently has incredible matches with great stories behind them. And Daniel Bryan is a, as you've pointed out, is a gifted storyteller because he figures out all those little things, whether it's quivering hand or the way he sells something.
Different ways to call his wife dumb.
Different ways to
well, at least it's a bit, he said the first, when he was complimenting her, at least the first thing he said was that she was beautiful.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily saying someone's dumb.
Yeah.
Just saying that so their looks matter more.
I would have preferred if he would have led with what I always lead with is, you know, there are different kinds of intelligence. There's kinetic intelligence. There's emotional intelligence. Kinetic intelligence, them women have in space.
Amazing. Oh, boy.
The other match I will recommend is from 2018. Daniel Bryan had won the whatever title it was, and he went to Survivor Series to go face-to-face with the other world champion, who was Brock Lesnar, who is a giant mountain of a guy who runs through people.
And amazing name.
He's so small. And it's his real name. It's his real name, too. They didn't even need to do a fake name for him. Brock Lesnar. And
it sounds like an anagram. It sounds like you need to sit down and collude with someone, if you don't mind my saying, to solve that anagram and figure out what the real name is. But go ahead.
His real name is Ben Rockellis.
Yeah, he's he's kind of like an anime villain, too, where it's like he literally lives in a mountain on a farm, like perfect. Thanos, and just like hangs out there with his hot wife until someone calls him down from the mountain to fight. And then he just throws dudes around.
There's a special bugle they blow.
Yeah.
Great. He rides down on a gigantic goat.
Yeah. He has to like take off his cowboy hat and like replace it with like his Jimmy John branded shorts amazing. And like go to work. His wife before he goes to work at the concussion factory.
He basically gives people concussions. The two of them had never wrestled before, and he Brock Lesnar ragdolls people around the ring. He doesn't matter what their size is, he will pick them up and toss them around, which he did to Daniel Bryan, and immediately you're like, this is going to be a squash. He's just going to toss them around, and Daniel Bryan looks like he's nearly dead, and it like happened right away. And then all of a sudden, he like reverses it, and you find out, oh, he's been playing possum this whole time. He's made Brock Lesnar.
He can get thrown around. Yeah,
he made him wear himself out, and now it's going to be an even fight. And it's so smart. Like those little storytelling things are what I love so much. And it's just a really well told story of a match, and it's worth revisiting if you haven't seen it or watching if you've never seen it.
It's one of those things I've always wanted from a Brock Lesnar match, because they'll have these matches where he's throwing people around. And I'm like, okay, well, that's like interesting, but like, wouldn't like a David versus Goliath be like a little bit more interesting? And it's like, that is what that match gave. That match gave David versus Goliath, like, because Brock Lesnar is just all power. He doesn't have to be wily. He doesn't have to do any of that stuff. He'll just pick you up and chuck you across the ring. And so to have someone who is then using like their intelligence to like fight against him the way that, you know, much the way he practiced by fighting against his wife. I know that it's a bit that they all did, but it's never going to be one of those things where I'm not like, I'm going to make fun of you for this forever. The bit is called Bella Brains, and it's about how your wife and her twin sister are the dumbest people you ever met. I'm going to make fun of you for the rest of time.
I think you need to. I think that's required.
It's going to happen.
You got to take that bullet, yeah.
Well, we asked the members of the Nation of Conversation for their thoughts and memories of Daniel Bryan. Here's what they said. Pedro on Facebook said, I had the privilege of seeing him live at the first AEW Grand Slam, and he's even better in person. The rest of the show was good, but by God, that match with him and Kenny Omega was a work of art.
True story.
Then we have Da Mullet on Blue Sky.
Shout out to Da Mullet.
Da Mullet.
Only mullet? Is there more mullets? I want to meet the whole mullet family.
When are we having the mullets over for dinner?
I've got the Boston mullets?
Yeah, I've got the quiz cards ready.
Well, first we have to have a meeting with them, and then we'll have a party afterwards. Yes.
This is what Da Mullet said. The granola belt was the perfect way to convince even the diehard WWE fan base to boo a man who had been the perfect babyface to that point. Yes.
All we had to do was remind them of recycling. Yes.
Famously vegan. Famously vegan. How dare and that group, they're all eating hot dogs like, you're not better than me. Matthew Birdsey on Twitter said, so much respect and love of ring work. I want nothing but health and happiness for the American Dragon. Hear, hear.
American Dragon, that's right.
Stay part of the conversation with Tights and Fights on all of our social media channels, including Blue Sky, where you can hang out with Da Mullet. Most of us are there too, but to mullet is why you're showing up. We know that. Okay. Links are in the show notes. And when we come back, even more Bryan Danielson. That's up next on Tights and Fights. Dice!
Dice everywhere!
Glossy, matte, patterns, plain, with so many sides!
They're all available at greenleafgeek.com. Danielle, tell us about rolling these glorious dice for Kolok.
We had so much fun using these for Kolok. Kolok uses the Kids on Bikes, the TTPRPG system for Kids on Bikes, which means that every action that you do, there is your own die that is assigned to it. And so these aren't just randomly like doing die. This is like, oh, this beautiful die is, this is my charisma. This beautiful die stands for my grit or my strength, depending on which of these, which version of Kids on that you're playing. And so it's not just that when you look at them, you think of like, oh, sexy numbers, which some of y'all do, y'all freaks, that's okay. That's one of the great things about these is that you see them and they have so many different designs and arrays. Now for Kolok, we went with brutalism because we were in the post-apocalypse. But if you're looking for something real pretty, they've got your pretty. If you're looking for something that looks like a weapon, like you can destroy someone with it, they got those too.
Oh, I almost feel bad pulling you off of the subject of dice, but I would be remiss, friends, if I didn't also add that there's one thing I love more than dice, and it's Greenleaf Geek's adventure boxes. They are available for pre-order now. They come in 3 tiers, and they include coloring pages, digital collectibles, illustrated one-shots.
And dice?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. I should have kept dice in the conversation. Thank yes, you. Of course. Each adventure box includes at least 4 sets of dice, and they will ship anywhere in the world.
You heard the lady. Get to pre-ordering now, because when the adventure boxes are gone, they're gone.
And hey, as Tights and Fights listeners, you can pre-order any adventure box of your own choice with a special discount. Visit greenleafgeek.com and use the coupon code TIGHTS for $5 off any adventure calendar. That's greenleafgeek.com and coupon code TIGHTS.
Dice!
Hi, I'm Jesse Thorne, the founder of Maximum Fun, and I have a special announcement. I'm no longer embarrassed by my brother, and me. You know, for years, each new episode of this supposed advice show was a fresh insult, a depraved jumble of erection jokes, ghost humor, and frankly, this is for the best, very little actionable advice. But now, as they enter their twilight years, I'm as surprised as anyone to admit that it's gotten kind of good. Justin, Travis, and Griffin's witticisms are more refined, like a humor column in a fancy magazine. And they hardly ever say bazinga anymore. So, after you've completely finished listening to every single one of all of our other shows, why not join the McElroy Brothers every week for my brother, and me?
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland, and I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Janet Varney.
Now it's time to take a look at every phase of one wrestler's career via their entrance music. This is Ringtones.
This conversation's over. Play my music.
Hit the music.
Hit the trumpets.
When he
Julian
was still
Gensiller days, like literally every week. I love it so much.
Yeah. When he was on the indies as Bryan Danielson, he came out primarily and illegally to the Final Countdown by Berlin? No, who does the final? Europe is the final.
You're so close.
Berlin is too specific.
You zoned That's, in. You zoned
yeah.
in.
Yeah, too, you got to zoom out.
Berlin is take my breath away. Yeah. The larger you zoom in, take my breath away. You zoom out, the Final Countdown.
There you
yeah.
go.
Love it.
During WWE's rookie program, NXT, when he would come out, he used the Miz's entrance music, who was his mentor, and he used this theme.
Wow, this is so of its time. I feel like I'm about to watch a TV show about a bunch of kids making it happen in California.
I was just thinking the exact same thing. That's how right on. I couldn't agree more.
I feel like 1998, like in the She's All That mold, they're in They're in like the convertible cabrio driving up PCH. The wind is smiling, and this is the song that's playing, and then the credits roll.
Young and wild and free, baby.
Oof.
Yeah. They're not all hits. wait, play that again, Julian. Oh, wait. I'll cue you, okay? I'm going to cue you with a point. Hey, Stacy, remember, I love you, and we're in this together. We
are wild and young. I hate it so much. It's so good.
Screw that music. Eventually, Daniel did go through the rite of passage in WWE that all wrestlers must endure, where he got his own personal generic garage rock track. Here it is.
This Thursday, Robot Warriors, only on Spike.
I feel a distinct lack of ooh-ah-ah-ing. Why is no one ooh-ah-ah-ing?
What's that track making you feel, Janet?
I don't know. It's for me, and I'm sure this is going to make someone angry, but like that, to me, that sort of dips into the kind of generic, like, I'm trying to sound like something menacing is happening in via guitar metal music, but it's like real unclear what that might be. So it feels posturey. It feels like posturing in a way that I need more specificity. I need more identity in the song. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because right now it just sounds like the closing credits to like Daredevil.
Yeah, yeah. And guess what? You don't want to come into the closing credits. That's the opposite of what you want.
No.
You don't want everyone to be leaving the theater because they don't care who the key grip was.
Yeah.
You want people to be showing up for this.
Evanescence is like, we get two tracks on the soundtrack? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, they're both going to play during the movie, Evanescence. We swear.
We promise.
Well, you wanted more personality and specificity. You got it. This is the beginning of the song he would forever become best known for. This is the orchestral version of Ride of the Valkyries.
It's never not going to be Kill the Wabbit. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you're taking a risk when you have something that's that ubiquitous and is used across so many different forms of entertainment. That's a risk.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge risk.
That's a risk.
Yeah, really. So we're going to get back to this a little bit later. For whatever reason, they went in a completely separate direction after about a year. And all of a sudden, he was entering to this music.
News you can trust. Colorado Springs only. Colorado Springs only action news with a woman. KTLV4.
Will he be able to eat those three crickets before the time expires? High stakes, stupid reality games.
This is the Cinemax version of James Bond that plays later nights the opening credits for it. Oh boy. Well.
Is there choir in there? Do human voices come in? I don't know. All of a sudden it sounded like I've heard like.
I've never let it play this long.
I know. For me to know that. Anyone has.
Nobody has.
I don't think anyone has. It's growing as we're listening to it. It's actually self-creating as we go.
It's an infection.
It's AI infection.
If we keep going, we're going to hear the composer just reading their shopping list because they never thought anybody would make it that far.
Well, I like that the composer needs to read aloud his shopping list before he goes anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, going to go. I better give this a once over out loud.
Goat milk. Raspberries, SpaghettiOs with meatballs. Why are those the three things? Who knows?
He's indulging in those meatballs.
This is a me day. If you thought that that theme like wasn't big enough, you're like, that needs to be a little bigger. Try this one on for size.
No one thinks that.
Why is there a motorcycle?
I thought it was bars. I thought it was like all of our anchors are in jail all week long bringing you the news.
Yeah, this is definitely like a news team gone rogue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They said we shouldn't report on the mob. But we kept on reporting.
Oh, I wish Julian.
Collusion.
Julian, can you quickly look up Move Closer to Your World on YouTube and play that? I'm just going to set this up. Like, these are fine news themes, but if you want like a proper news theme, this is the greatest one of all time. And maybe this would have been good entrance music for Daniel Bryan. Come on.
Weighing in at 230 pounds, 6'1" tall, from Seattle, Washington, Daniel Bryan!
And there are people saying this.
Yeah.
Is he still credited by Seattle or is it Aberdeen now? I don't know.
Oh, it is Aberdeen. Maybe they probably said Aberdeen.
The only people who know where Aberdeen is like people from Los Angeles, or people from Seattle and people who like fucking Kurt Cobain. No one else knows where Aberdeen is.
Yeah, there you go.
That's
a lot of people.
Yeah. There's a lot of people. That's true.
That's a good point.
I keep forgetting people have actually heard of where I'm from.
Yeah. I'm so excited I got the action news theme from Philadelphia.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. On here.
Also, Julian, after the rock version of Ride of the Valkyries, there's a song missing here. It's not a theme song, but you know what it is. You know the song about being a monster that we
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, I just watched a whole thing where I had to listen to what a monster he was over and over. Yeah. I was surprised that was absent.
Thank you. It wasn't a theme song, but it's an important part of the lore.
Unlike the Final Countdown, we can't afford to play a second of that.
Do you know your Daniel Bryan music lore? Here's a test.
Lore drop.
And you call yourself an Aberdeenian.
Yeah. Not to be a gatekeeper, but...
We sound like that.
Yeah.
We do. We sound kind of Canadian and all snooty.
Yeah. Well, after he sprang that action news team from jail, they finally found the track that would lead him to multiple world championships, the Yes Movement, and multiple main events of WrestleMania. This is probably the most popular version of his entrance music. Hit it, Julian.
It does need this lightning though. See, this isn't your mama's Ride of the Valkyrie.
This Shoo ride, wing.
Yeah, this Ride of the Valkyrie fucks.
I like to play.
Now that's what I call Ride of the Valkyries, Volume 2.
It just feels like Wayne's World to me. I can't help myself.
It does. No, it does. It also feels like Bill and Ted.
Speaking of Canadians, yeah.
It feels like very first Bill and Ted. But I love it. There is a song in here, of course. It is not an entrance song, but it is a song that will forever be tied to Daniel Bryan and his journey to WrestleMania 30. And that is this gem of a track right here by You Tell Me. I don't know. Oh, it's Imagine Dragons. Imagine Dragons on WWE Radio.
Imagine American Dragons.
I feel like I'm in a bar I don't want to be in.
We've been here 15 minutes. Do you think this is long enough that we can leave?
Guys, let me finish my White Claw. Hold on.
Look, I told my friend, he's the lead singer of the band, we would stay for one song, so.
How long is it, though?
Feels it's like this been 20 going. Minutes.
Yeah.
They're a jam band.
Oh, I wish you'd told me that beforehand. I had a migraine earlier today. It's touch and go.
Oh, here's the good part. See? It's a song.
A monster!
monster. I'm turning to a monster.
We only wrote this hoping that monster sports drinks were buying.
Oh my God, it could have been Red Bull at any notice. Like,
I'm a Red Bull, a Red Bull.
I'm flying like a Red Bull.
Yeah. We figured it out.
That's based on an old song from the 90s called Pepsi AM. It wasn't a big hit. It went away quickly.
Pepsi AM.
Not many people remember that one. Anyway. These days, Bryan Danielson is holding it down in All Elite Wrestling, and that means a new name, Bryan Danielson, his actual name, and a new theme song that takes notes from his previous tracks. See if you can taste the different flavors of Daniel Bryan entrance music in this little test. Ditty.
Check. And check.
Okay, did they do the effect so it's supposed to sound like an old-timey newsreel?
Yeah.
Or is it just like a really badly
mixed? Those were the old days. That's old news, Daniel.
Oh, all the aesthetics in one.
Metal and orchestration and hip-hop. What? Break it down, break it down.
I can't twerk, but if I could, it would not be to this.
No?
It's kind of a weird, I mean, he went back to like what now sounds like auto-tune boy band. little bit. Mm-hmm. It's a little toothless, my opinion.
I agree.
Yeah, no, it's definitely giving Black Eyed Peas. Like,
yeah.
Why is Fergie here?
It's giving Black Eyed Peas. Oh, my Lord.
I was born for greatness. Midriff, midriff. Everyone look at my midriff.
Well, glasses that are horizontal blinds. Danielle, now that we know that Daniel Bryan is winding down his time as a full-time wrestler, I mean Bryan Danielson, what do you think his legacy will be sort of in the business overall? Because he's got sort of a, like, where's his place in this all-time pantheon of performers?
I mean, I think that where it stands right now, he could walk off the stage and he would still be, to many people's opinions, at, like, inarguably top 20 of all time. For a lot of people, they would put him top 10 or top 5. Even number
top
one.
Five.
Yeah, and I couldn't argue. Like, that would actually be, he's genuinely incredibly, incredibly gifted. Daniel Bryan feels like one of those people where it's like, I feel like a lot of his impact in the business, I think he's going to be a Dusty Rhodes in the way where it's like, a lot of his impact in the business is going to be through, like, what he does behind the scenes in order to prop up the next generation. You see that, like, he took a Jade Cargill, who is... like, who is the total package except for the fact that she couldn't fucking wrestle, and turned her into a wrestler.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, you kind of need it. But trust me, I'm going to show you a picture of her and you're going to be like, yeah, I get it. And turned her into an incredibly talented wrestler. And he's one of those people that everyone likes, everyone seems to respect. He has great ideas. He understands the business. And so aside from, he's already cemented himself as a top 20 all-time wrestler in the eyes of, I would say, most people. But I think it's going to be what he does behind the scenes, and his impact there is also, like, you can't. I think that that's, he's going to spend a considerable amount of time trying to influence the next generation in the way that, like, Shawn Michaels did when Shawn Michaels trained
there
him and things like that.
Got to get that full circle. When a big part of your story is connected to your mentor, then it's not a full cycle until you are that mentor.
Baby, if Cora don't know it, like, come on.
Cycle, baby. Cycle.
Janet, when we talked about Cesaro and his ring music a while back, the thing that struck you about Daniel Bryan was that he was an undersized wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
How has diving into his work a little bit more changed your opinion of him? What do you see him as now?
An undersized wrestler. but... No, I mean, listen, I think that was used. I think it started out being an easy target. It started out being like an easy story, like, oh, he's so little, like this is never gonna work. But it outgrew its own mythology very quickly and became something deeper. And I think that's an achievement, because for a lot of people, it would have been enough to just kind of like be the little guy. And, you know, you sort of play that out until you're done. But then what? And it's been a more complicated story than that. And I think that, yeah, that's a testament to like his ability to kind of keep transforming and being relevant. So I got to give him, I got to shout out.
All right. Well, if any of you out there have anything to say about Daniel Bryan Danielson, visit us on our social media channels. You can find those in the links in our show notes. When we come back, we've got three things from wrestling we want to share with you. That's up next on Tights and Fights. Janet Varney, this is not your first time discussing wrestling at length. Is that correct?
Absolutely correct, Hal Lublin. I was on Tights and Fights just a couple of years ago talking all about my favorite Swiss superhero, Cesaro.
Which is fantastic, and who these days is known as Claudio Castagnoli. I don't know why I sounded like that. That is borderline offensive. But we talk about his career and entrance music, and there is only one place for you to get that.
And that's the Max Fun members bonus feed. Go to MaximumFun.org/join and become a member for just $5 a month to gain access. You don't have to wait for the drive. You can do it right now.
And by the way, not only will you hear that, if I may say so, great episode with all of us, but you will get to hear every bonus episode from Tights and Fights, the JV Club with Janet Varney, and all, yes, all the other Max Fun shows.
That is literally hundreds of hours of audio awaiting you.
Take that, Audible. That's MaximumFun.org/join. To become a member for just $5 a month.
I love that we have a huge beef with Audible now that we're like, suck it, Audible! Fist fight with them.
The Legend of Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom.
Diablo 4.
Final Fantasy 16.
Street Fighter 6.
Baldur's Gate 3.
Starfield.
Spider-Man 2.
Master Detective Archives Rain Code for Nintendo Switch? No, is that just me?
It's a huge time for video games.
You need somebody to tell you what's good, what's not so good, and what's amazing.
I'm Jason Schreier.
I'm Maddie Myers.
And I'm Kirk Hamilton. We're the hosts of Triple Click, a video game podcast for anyone who likes games.
Find us at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Bye.
They've got a podcast. Tights and Fights is the name.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Janet Varney.
And it's time to share the joy of wrestling with you. This is the three count.
Watch my three count.
One, two, three.
Get out of there.
That was sick.
Janet, you are our esteemed guest. Please, please take the first slot and tell us what you would like to put over.
Well, I'd like to apply the yes movement to my episode of the JV Club with Colt Cabana. What a joy. What a charmer. What an absolute gem. And I will say, check it out. You know, Colt will talk about his high school years, which is always fascinating coming from anybody. Truly, it's just such a great way inside the way someone is now and kind of where they came from. But also, he's very transparent about, very open about his experience as a wrestler and kind of, you know, his underdog story. And I just think he has such a great perspective on that and so many other things, and he's just a delight of a person. You guys already know that, but check it out. It's a little bit of a different lens on Colt, and it's really worth a listen.
You heard it here first, and every episode of JV Club is, it's like one of the best podcasts
ever. Both
of these
gems have been on, so it's so good. Even worry about it.
And
just go listen.
But Colt is like, I mean, he is a great conversationalist. If you have not yet listened to the JV Club, let that be your hop on point. And then you'll listen to the rest, probably in one night. I don't know how you'll make it work. Who are you, Hermione Granger? Danielle?
Not likely. So there is a wrestler who he has been part of. He was part of Ring of Honor before the new Ring of Artists started. He's been a local SoCal wrestler for forever, incredibly talented, a dude named Tyler Bateman. He is so good. He has like a really interesting aesthetic, and he has been out in these wrestling streets forever. He is very well respected in the community. And there has been like a little bit of, speaking of like, you know, movements, there's been a little bit of some talk of some movements online for people hashtagging sign Tyler Bateman, just encouraging folks to be like, hey, like if you're looking for someone to sign, like this is someone that you can sign. And a lot of folks have been co-signing and saying like, yes, please put this man on your shows. Please get him on our television sets weekly. And I co-sign. I think that he is incredibly talented. And whether you retweet or if it just like inspires you to look up some of his matches and some of his good ones because they're on there, go do that shit. We're supporting people who work.
Yes.
Give money to people who work.
Piggyback off of Janet. If you've never listened to We Got This with Mark and Hal, which is my other Maximum Fun podcast, we've had wrestlers on a couple times. We've had Colt Cabana on, Xavier Woods has been on, Simon Gotch has been on twice. They're all great episodes. They're really fun. Mm-hmm. None of it is wrestling conversation, although Xavier Woods does name check Kenny Omega at the end of the episode. So this was back in like 2016, I think. So you can hear... you can hear the bits of what would become a big online video game rivalry. You could hear a little bit about it in its earlier stages right there. We got this with Mark and Hal. New episodes every week. Everybody here has been on it.
I'm sure everyone's already listening to it, but if not, you got to get over there and listen
like,
to
what
it.
Are you
it
doing?
Is a joy to behold.
These two babies, like, come on.
Oh.
Give me a break.
Well, that does it for this episode of Tights and Fights. This
oh, week, I like it how it gets all blushy. It's like,
ooh, I'm as yeah, red as my threadbare Avenger shirt that doesn't, you can't even read it anymore. I'll never stop wearing it. It'll turn into a ghost and I'll still be wearing it. This week, your hosts were Daniel Radford along with me, Hal Lublin, our guest, of course, the wonderful, amazing Janet Varney.
Aw, thanks for having me. This was a blast, as always.
Always a pleasure. Is there anything you would like to promote that you'd like people to listen to or support or anything?
Get out there and listen to that JV Club. We talked about it.
Yeah.
It's worth a listen.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Danielle?
So, tonight is Wednesday when we record this, which means this is the season finale for the Dimension 20 series that I was on. It's just wrapping up our sixth episode, Mentopolis. So, go check that out. Again, just a really funny show, really great season. I had such a blast doing it, and it seems like you guys are really enjoying it, and that makes me so happy. Also, you can still go and grab any of the Agretzko Meet Her World, whichever issue it is. It doesn't matter because single issues are gone now. So you can only get it in the Agretzko Meet Her World graphic novel. Yeah, just support, obviously, support all the striking workers in everything. Everyone's striking right now. It was hot solidarity summer, and hopefully we won't need to for too long, but we're moving into hot solidarity fall. Mm-hmm. So just keep supporting. We see all the support that y'all are giving, because it turns out that the executives don't really like need us to say much to make themselves look like cartoon villains. It's like really obvious. Yeah, just thank y'all all for all of your support, and we super appreciate and keep on supporting, because it's getting scary, but that if anything that just makes us more committed and more ready to like get on the picket lines and be like, stop being stubborn. Everyone wants to see their shows. We want to give them their shows. Like, you're not gonna phase us at this point. So just like get it done, because the union's not giving up. So
yeah, I'll jump on that and say if you're able to support in a way other than just solidarity, you can go to the Entertainment Community Fund, and that is a way that people who are particularly hurting during this time are getting some financial relief. But there are a ton of other ways that you can support both the Writers Guild and the Screen Actors Guild and any other labor union that is striking right now. And it's really important.
The VFX dudes. Oh, I can't wait till that gets started.
Yeah. I mean, this is an inflection point in labor that I don't think we've seen maybe since the turn of the 20th century, where we first established there should be a 40-hour work week. We should have weekends. We should
stop like, locking sort of girls regulate. Inside burning buildings.
Yeah. We should regulate the very idea of labor itself. And now we're in this area where technology has come in, and we don't quite understand what it is and what it can be. And there's a ton of potential, but we also have to be protective of every human being out there that has a job and figure out how we can work with it instead of having it work instead of us. So these strikes are super important, and supporting those striking people is even more important. These people are making sacrifices that will benefit all of us. So
Absolutely.
Those
we have we have the good fortune of broadcasting this from a worker-owned cooperative that's listener-supported. Yep. So we are very grateful to be able to do that. Thanks, Max Fun.
Yes, thank you, Max Fun. Our producer and part owner of Max Fun is walking on the punchline, Julian Burrell. Aww. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music, so we're putting him over for that. Thank you to all the Max Fun members that keep this show going. You can join to hear that Janet Varney talking about Cesaro's entrance music episode. You can go right now to MaximumFun.org/join. You don't have to wait for the drive. You can get that for $5 a month. Anytime, you darn well please. Keep up with us all week long on all of our social media channels. Those are, of course, in the show notes. Find our Tights and Fights WrestleMania shirt at MaxFunStore.com and celebrate Ice Cream Christmas all year long. And hey, if you want other merch, tell us what you want so we can put it in the store and then you can buy it and wear it or drink out of it or stick it on something. It's your choice. We'll be
and
back.
That's all just a shirt.
That's all just a shirt. You can sweat in it and then throw it at the ceiling. You can do whatever you want. You can wring out
bring
the sweat
it right
and drink
into your
it.
Mouth.
I'm not judging you. You play Fear Factor with that shirt. Do it. We'll be back next week for more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Here comes the pain. Bow to the masters. This is a podcast. They are podcasters. Max Fun's the network. Tyson Fights is the name.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.